first reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. I can't call this anything but kind of a good news. Please listen to the word of God. People who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots and tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson today comes from Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And this is Paul's letter to Titus. It's nothing less than a syllabus for how to teach. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson is one that is, I'm sure, very familiar to all of you. It is the birth of Jesus as told to us in the Gospel of Matthew. And we're reading from the second chapter, verses 1 through 14. In those days, the decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When I was born, my father, who was an architect, drew up a special birth announcement. And on the front of it, it had, "It's a boy." And it had this baby boy sitting there with the tools of an architect, a pencil, a square, a triangle, a drawing board, ready to to begin work. And on the inside, it had all the information you would want to have, the name, the date of birth, the parents' names, the weight, the size, all those things. And this was the day before copy machines, so I suspect he had to draw them all out that he gave out. This past summer when I was home and was going through some boxes at my mother's house, I came across it. I wish I'd brought it back with me because I could have copied it and put it on the screens, but I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I don't remember an announcement from my sisters. Maybe he just gave out cigars for them. I mean, that used to be the custom, didn't it? I don't know where the custom came from. I don't even know if it's still being done today. But for my kids, when they came along, we used modified Hershey chocolate bar wrappers. And it would look like the Hershey chocolate bar, but on the Hershey, for a girl, it had the S-H-E in pink. For the boy, it had the H-E in blue. And you would slide it over the chocolate bar, and then if you flipped it over, it would have all the vital information, name, date, parents, all the size, weight, all those things people want to know. So it made the announcement of the birth, and it also made for a good snack. Today, with social media being the way that it is, there are all kinds of ways to announce the birth of a child. You know, you can do it through email, you can do it through texting, tweeting, Snapchat, and probably a dozen more ways that I don't know, but my children would know. You can, in almost the time it takes to say it's a boy or it's a girl, you can send out that announcement to all your family and friends and include a picture. And when you think of the celebrities, the famous, when they have a child, that announcement spreads throughout the whole world on the internet. And before you know it, there are pictures on covers of all the popular magazines announcing this wonderful birth. All kinds of ways to announce the birth of a child. But when it comes to style, I don't think you can beat Jesus' birth announcement. I mean, really, an angel? Followed up by a whole heavenly host singing out glory to God? That's style. You can't beat that. Now, you have to lose some points, though, on the audience that it went to. I mean, shepherds? Really? They were not exactly the top social class. In fact, on the social ladder, they're right down there at the bottom. They were uneducated. They hung around sheep all the time, so they were smelly. The people, you know, thought they were thieves. Didn't trust them. They were trespassers. They would take their sheep and go on other people's property and let the sheep graze without asking permission. Be kind of like, letting your neighbor letting their dogs come onto your property and do their business. People didn't like shepherds. And yet, they're the first ones that heard. They received that wonderful birth announcement that the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord has been born in Bethlehem. Go and see. In a lot of ways, it's fitting that it was the shepherds. The greatest king of Israel, David, he was a shepherd. Moses, was a shepherd when he received the call from God to go back to Egypt to bring about the freedom of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. A few weeks ago, we read from the prophet Ezekiel. And the prophet talks about how with God speaking, of how the leaders, the religious and the government leaders of the nation had let the people down, had led them astray, and now they were in exile. But how one day God himself would shepherd the people back, would be their great shepherd, and it would come from the line of David. In other words, Jesus. So it's fitting, I think, that the shepherds were the first to get the birth announcement. But you know, they weren't the only ones that got a birth announcement. We didn't read this, but in the Gospel of Matthew, there was another birth announcement. It was a star in the sky. And these Gentile, non-Jewish, foreign scholars were the only ones who noticed it. I imagine they had been reading the ancient text that told of a new king that would come, a very special king who would rule over all of Israel. And when they saw that star, they said, "We've got to go. We got to go visit this king." And so they gathered up and collected gifts that they would take. And they began this long journey, probably 1,000 miles or so, following after the star. And I imagine they were totally shocked when they got to Jerusalem, the capital city, and no one was talking about this king. They would mention, "Where's the newborn king?" And the people are just kind of staring at them, "Huh? What are you talking about?" They found out that this new king was to be born in Bethlehem, just a few short miles away outside of Jerusalem. And so they go, and they visit the new king. Now, we tend to think of it, them arriving at the stable at the same time that the shepherds were there. They have this whole great big meeting time, but they probably came a year, probably maybe even closer to 2 years after Jesus was born. Shepherds were long gone back to the fields by this time. But they came for this king, the special king, not one that was going to be an earthly king ruling over a nation, but a king of a very special kingdom, the kingdom of God, that kingdom that begins within those who believe, within those who acknowledge who the true king is. This king that's come to set up a different sort of kingdom. You know, Jesus didn't, or the birth announcement didn't come to the religious leaders. It didn't come to the government leaders, the community leaders. They were all left out. And I think this tells us something about the Father who was making the announcement. That this Christ, this Messiah, this Lord, this King, was coming for those who were on the margins of society, who had been marginalized by the masses, the shepherds who were at the bottom of the social order. These non-Jewish, foreign people who had traveled so far, who had been totally ignored by the Jews. These were the ones who came, not the religious leaders. And I think it's telling us that Jesus came for all people, especially for those who are often left on the sidelines. And I think the message today is that this God still works among those that are on the margins of society. They are the ones that can often make the difference in the world. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent is that time when we look back to the first coming of Christ. We look back to that birth. We look back to this one who came to care for those, for all people, but especially for those who've been left out. It's recognizing that he has come for all. It's remembering that he came and he gave his life as a sacrifice for us. He died and was raised from the dead that we might find life in him. But Advent's also a time of looking to the future, recognizing that Christ will come again, and when he comes, he will establish his kingdom for all time. This kingdom that is here partially now, it's partially within us. And we are to be witnesses of this kingdom, witnesses to the King, witnesses to the values of the kingdom of love and grace, peace, joy, justice. And we are to be living these things out, because as we live them out, we are proclaiming God's kingdom here and proclaiming that it is still yet to come. And we look forward to that time when it does come. The real true meaning of Christmas is not about the presents you're going to receive, not about the Christmas tree and the lights and the decorations. It's not even about family coming together. It's about this baby that was born. Emmanuel, God is with us. It's about God taking on human form, living among us, sharing with us what it means to be in relationship with God, and then making that possible through his death and his resurrection. It is us living out our faith and being a people of hope and a people of good news. And we are called to be witnesses to that, just as the shepherds were and the wise men were. They had received the birth announcement, and we have too received that birth announcement, and we are to proclaim it. So Merry Christmas to you. And may God be with you in a very special way this Christmas time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the birth of Jesus, for the announcements that were made, the angel coming to the shepherds, and the multiple, and the heavenly host joining the angel and proclaiming that Christ is born, the star that shined in the sky that drew the wise men to Jesus. May we see the signs. May we recognize the birth announcement. And may we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. And may this Christmas be a very special time for us as we do remember his first coming and as we await his second. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.